Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Richard Ravitch is here. His Ravitch report on the future of the MTA came out last week. We talked about it Thursday and Friday, and now we get to hear some of it from the man himself. Remember, this report was commissioned before the financial crisis and seeks to find a sustainable way to fund mass transit in New York with reasonable fares and the growth needed to keep New York a world-class city for the coming decades, including a permanent stream of dollars for capital improvements, plus greatly expanded bus service. And with the payroll tax and East River Bridge tolls getting most of the attention here, let's talk about it all with Richard Ravitch. Mr. Ravitch, thanks so much for coming on for this. Welcome back to WNYC.
Always a pleasure to be here.
As a New Yorker, as a former MTA chair, with all your experience at this, do you have priorities you'd like to see for expansion of the system?
Sure. Let me say that New York is going to grow unbelievably in the next 20, 30 years. The population of the United States, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, is going to go up by 140 million Americans. Most of that growth is going to take place in the major metropolitan areas, and we sit in the center of the biggest of them. If you look at the report the mayor issued about New York 2030, you will see a very graphic and well-documented projection of the growth of this city and this region, and the assertion, by the way, that the single biggest impediment to growth is the failure to expand the mass transit system. So, yes, I would very much like to see another main line on the Long Island Railroad. I'd like to see Cross Westchester Rapid Transit Service. I'd like to see a further expansion to the northwest of Metro North. I would like to see the completion of the Second Avenue subway up through the East Bronx, where there's an unbelievable opportunity because the amount of vacant land to build tens of thousands of units, indeed hundreds of thousands of units of affordable housing, which the city needs desperately. These are the highest priorities for the growth of the system. But don't forget, we have not yet restored it fully to a state of good repair. We have to rebuild the signal system, which is almost 100 years old. There continue projects that require continued infusion of capital. Remember, in 1981, we'd gone through a period in which very little capital had been replaced since the subways were built in the first instance. So we're now in the process of spending since 82 about $5 billion a year to restore the existing system to a state of good repair. This is absolutely critical to the growth and stability of this city and this region. And last of all, but equally important, the single biggest gap is inadequate bus service, particularly from the outer boroughs into the central business district. And the plan that we have suggested is one in which all the revenues from the tolls would be devoted to expanded bus service. That's at least $600 million a year, which will dramatically enhance the ability of people in the outer boroughs and to some extent the suburbs as well to get into the center of the city. You know, just one other important fact, which perhaps the public doesn't realize, this is the only city in the country where the dependency on mass transit is as intense as it is here. 80% of the people who come into the central business district come by mass transit.
Richard Ravitch, who organized the Ravitch Report on the future of the MTA, just out, my guest on WNYC. And you mentioned 1981. I believe that's the year that you became chairman of the MTA.
79,
when we were just starting to get out of the 70s fiscal crisis and things were in such disrepair down there. Do you think that there are lessons of the 1970s fiscal crisis for the current financial crisis that we're in?
Yes, I think there are. It's different. In 75, there was a recession, but the city of New York faced enormous credit problems because of the way they'd been borrowing in the previous decade. This is a much more profound and deeper recession, and therefore imposes on the governor and the legislature great burdens to fill enormous budget deficits. I think the president's stimulus plan will go a long way towards helping that. But I think the lessons to be learned are as follows. I remember very well, having represented the governor during that period of time, that people predicted that the city of New York was going to shrink and that terrible things were going to happen here. But somehow, the apocalypse never landed in New York. It always landed somewhere else. And 3 years later, in 1978, under the leadership of Ed Koch and Hugh Carey, this city was thriving again. We were self-financing the needs of the city. So I think to remember, as bleak as things may look now and as difficult as they are, in fact, the future is bright for New York. It's still a place where millions of people from all over the world want to come, bring up their kids, work, get educated. So I'm very bullish about New York.
Last hour, we talked about President-elect Obama's new infrastructure and public works jobs proposals. Do you think the MTA should get some of that federal money?
Of course. Of course they should, and I have no doubt will. I think the genius of the president-elect's plan is that that money is going to go to projects that are ready to go, and the MTA has many that are ready to go that have been designed and could go under construction.
Where would you start if you could say President-elect Obama?
Well, I'd start with the good repair items that are will be in the MTA's next capital plan, which could be started earlier than 2010.
Which are what?
Well, everything from the signal system to maintenance facilities, bus garages, track repairs, substation repairs, continuation of the 2nd Avenue subway. I mean, there's no dearth of things that are ready to go. And you realize that most of the money that will come out of our plan is our New York's version of the stimulus. And I hope that the president's plan, when it goes through Congress, gives some recognition to those states that are engaged in some degree of self-help. So New York should get the premium of dollars. Also, we have enormous unemployment in the building trades today as project after project gets canceled. So this is very, very critical to our economy. I mean, 1 year of, one capital plan, 1 5-year capital plan of the MTA in and of itself produces $12 to $15 billion of wages for New Yorkers. That's pretty important at a time when unemployment's growing as much as it is.
Should the MTA itself, even more directly, apply for a federal bailout like some states and corporations are asking for?
Well, I wouldn't call it a bailout. I mean, the MTA, I think legally whether the application is made by the MTA or the state is not relevant, and we have to see which way the legislation gets written. But I would certainly think that the MTA should and will be a beneficiary of the money that is allocated to this part of the country.
Richard Ravitch, my guest on WNYC. His Ravitch Report came out last week on the future of the MTA and how to fund it. And let me dive into some of the money and politics of this. The Times did an analysis that concluded all the money you're asking for is contained in the payroll tax alone. So is that true?
And no, is that it?
You don't agree with that analysis?
No. It's not a question of agreement. It's categorically incorrect. What the report recommends is that the payroll tax or the mobility tax will be used in 2009 to defray the service cuts and the enormity of the fare increase that the MTA is currently considering doing, because they have no choice. They were required by law to have a balanced budget, and they're meeting on December 17th, and they're going to have to adopt a balanced budget. And absent new resources, they have no choice but to do those things. So the mobility tax will be used in 2009 to defray those dreadful things. Thereafter, it will be used solely to fund the capital needs of the MTA. The tolling revenue, which should be ultimately about $600 million a year, will be used for expanded bus service in this region. A critical need.
I see. So when you talk about capital expansion, and the payroll tax going for that. That does not exclude that. I'm sorry, that does not include the expanded bus service.
That is correct.
That would be for the tolls, because it, you know, it almost looked, from the way I read at least that Times analysis, that your strategy might be to propose the East River tolls that people are rebelling against and that have never risen to the level of politically acceptable, so that that gets rejected again, but it makes the payroll tax easier to swallow. No?
No, we didn't have any political calculation. Obviously, having been involved in public service many times, I know that people don't like to pay fares, they don't like to pay taxes, and they don't like to pay tolls. But unfortunately, they know fairy godmothers. So the question is, how do you solve the problem? We came up with a combination of ideas that we think properly balance the obligations of all the people who benefit from the transit system, not just the people who use the system. It's the businessmen whose employees get to work on the system. It's the automobile drivers, a healthy economic region to operate. So in my judgment, this is an appropriate balance. There's no political calculation intended at all.
How about the Harlem River tolls? We keep hearing East River tolls and Harlem River tolls, and of course we think the East River bridges, the three in Lower Manhattan, the 59th Street Queensboro Bridge, but all those little Willis Avenue Bridge, 3rd Avenue Bridge, Madison Avenue Bridge, little bridges would have tolls?
That's correct. It would all be electronic tolling. There would be no toll booths, no traffic disruption as a result of it, and the toll on those bridges, at least we suggest, should be significantly less than the toll.
What would it be? I mean, those bridges are like a block long.
We suggest that those tolls should be the same as a single subway ride. We understand the enormity of this, but on the other hand, don't forget that there are a lot of people out there who are not pounding on the table now because they're concerned about the quality of the air that their kids breathe. They're concerned about the economic cost of the traffic congestion, and they're concerned about reducing our dependency on Middle East oil and therefore trying to discourage the use of the automobile. So because we have an effective mass transit system and because the money is going to be used to improve it, we think society as a whole is dramatically better off by creating more mass transit and less dependency on automobiles.
Are the East and Harlem River tolls regressive taxes? In a way, New York is the opposite of most other places where, you know, the poorer people are the ones who kind of get relegated to mass transit. Here, if you live in a better location, then you live near a subway or Metro North or Long Island Railroad line. It's the people who, let's say, live further out in Brooklyn who aren't near an easy subway commute who get relegated to driving.
Well, first of all, the subway fare itself is regressive by the definition you just suggested, because you can't differentiate the subway fare on the basis of a family's income.
Right, it's not a sliding scale.
It is no longer true that the poorest people live the furthest distance from the center of Manhattan. Quite to the contrary, as a matter of fact, the development of single-family homes on Staten Island, the outer parts of Riverdale and Queens and Brooklyn.
It's not universally true. Yeah.
No.
All right, we just have a few minutes left. I want to cover a couple of other things real quick. One is the idea in your report to index fare hikes to inflation. That seems eminently sensible. That would keep them steady but reasonable over the long haul without a political battle every single time out. Inflation goes up X percent. I guess there might be a battle over how to determine what the real inflation level is, but then the fare goes up that amount. What if there's deflation, as there may well be in the next few years. Would the fare go down?
Well, that's a thought, but certainly the board of the MTA at that time would have the ability to do just that if the cost of running the system went down. You know, I appreciate your characterization of it, but it is absolutely correct that it is inappropriate to ask business people to pay a tax and not have the rider of the system pay a reasonable percentage of the increase in costs of running the system. And that's what we tried to do in achieving the balance that we did.
Maybe lots of stuff should be indexed to inflation. This is outside of the scope of your report, but minimum wage, education spending, other infrastructure, lots of stuff to make political and fiscal sense. You think that's an underused model in general?
I do indeed. Absolutely.
Did the report, your report, change during the year to reflect the oncoming train of the financial crisis?
Well, obviously, the work that we did during this six-month period occurred while this tragedy was unfolding, so it made our sense of the acuteness of the short-term problem graver, and we tried to address that, as I said, by the utilization of the mobility tax revenue in year one. But it didn't change the need for continued investment in the capital facilities of the MTA.
The New York Post editorial on your report was disappointed that you asked for taxes on the taxpayers, but nothing from the union. Other people were unhappy that you didn't ask to address specifically MTA management bloat, and you know all the stories about that. Why didn't you go there?
Well, first of all, the MTA is currently in negotiations with the TWU about the contract, which expires on January 15th. And it would have been the height of stupidity if we had attempted to interfere in any way in that contract negotiation. I have expressed my views privately on that subject to both the governor and to the people at the MTA. As far as the bloat, you know, I don't know any large organization that doesn't have some inefficiencies, including newspapers. The fact of the matter is that to suggest that the MTA, which has an $11 billion a year operating budget, could save enough money through efficiencies is to mislead the public. I have no doubt that money could be saved.
Not enough money, but there's a moral authority issue there, isn't there?
Yeah, but, you know, the burden is, look, I respect the point of view. I don't like to pay taxes either as a citizen. I wish government were more streamlined. I also wish that half the people who are constantly expressing rectitude about this bloating would take some time in their lives and go in and try to manage something in the public sector and see the difficulties and the burdens. We made a number of suggestions in this report as to how to improve governance, transparency, and to create more efficiencies. And I wish somehow there was a way that everybody would actually read the report before they kibitzed it.
Last thing, who decides? There was the Sam Roberts article in This Morning's Times, maybe you saw it, which was kind of a lament for the old days of Robert Moses and other such power brokers who could ram something like this through if it was deemed to be good government, even if politically unpopular. Who decides now?
The New York State Legislature will ultimately have the power to decide. And I know people laugh at me when I say this, but I have great faith that they will ultimately not let the mass transit system in this region down.
Richard Ravitch, longtime champion of mass transportation in New York City, now the chairman of the Ravitch Commission, with a report out just the other day on future funding of the MTA. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
And coming up next, everything you always wanted to know about unemployment insurance. And a lot of people need to know now. Stay with us.